Hello, and welcome to The Debate. I'm Kavita Akwaye. The United States says that Libya poses an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the U.S. Even after Washington participated in a NATO-led seven-month war on the country in March of 2011 that helped bring about the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi by armed groups, the very same fighters that the West armed, who are now fighting in Syria, have become so much of a threat that U.K.'s Foreign Secretary William Hague has said some of these fighters would then return to Europe experienced in weapons and explosives to carry out terrorist attacks. In this debate, we'll examine the blowback of Western support for these armed groups, some of whom with close links to al-Qaeda.
Fighting rages on in parts of Syria, including the north of the country, where the army and foreign-backed insurgents have been engaged in some of the heaviest clashes in days. The clashes are focusing around Aleppo's international airport. Reports say the fighting has claimed nearly 150 lives on both sides. Al-Qaeda offshoots, including the Al-Nusra Front, have been playing an active role in the war against Syrian government forces in the past months. The rise of Al-Qaeda's affiliate has sounded the alarm in the West. Britain's foreign secretary has warned that the insurgents pose a threat to his country and other European states, indicating that the very same fighters that the West armed have now become so much of a threat to their supporters.
They may not pose a threat to us when they first go to Syria, but if they survive, some may return ideologically hardened and with experience of weapons and explosives.
Haig said the longer the war goes on, the greater the threat will be. He also described Syria as the number one destination for militants from anywhere in the world. Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama has said in a recent statement that Libya poses an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. The statement was an extension of the emergency situation the Obama administration has imposed on Libya since February 2011. The emergency was initially put into place in response to the civil war in Libya, which ended later in 2011. NATO intervened in Libya militarily. The military alliance mounted a seven-month war in Libya in March 2011 that helped bring about the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi by rebel groups. In September 2012, the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was attacked by an armed group that killed four Americans, including the U.S. ambassador. As for Syria, Western states still insist on helping insurgents fighting to overthrow President Bashar al-Assad in order to achieve their geopolitical aims in the region. This is while they have realized that a day will come when their actions in Libya will backfire.
Well, joining us for this debate, our co-director of the International Action Center, Sarah Flounders, who joins us from New York. She's also author of War Without Victory. We also have former U.S. diplomat George Lombroski, who joins us from London, and a former U.S. intelligence linguist, Scott Rickard, who joins us via Skype from Florida. I'd like to welcome all our guests. Let me start with you, George Lombroski. There's a growing trend here that's very dangerous, and that's on more and more Europeans joining the terrorist fighters in Syria. Why do you think that is?
Why are they joining in Syria? Well,
yes.
Because I think there is a market for them there. But I don't agree with what I heard earlier, that the Western powers are backing the rebels. There is some money that is going through and armament going through to these extremists, but there are others who are not extremists with them. And unfortunately, if President Assad had agreed to talk to them in the beginning, we would not have had these extremists joining him. Now it has become a very dangerous situation. And in any case, whenever you have civil war of this kind going on, you have to look for a political solution if you can possibly get it. And I'm afraid that those who are resisting this, particularly Assad and his people around him, with to some degree the assent of other countries such as Iran and Russia, are making it worse and worse as we go on.
Uh-huh. Scott Rickard, our guest there, says that the West is not supporting these insurgents. What do you think?
Well, he's absolutely incorrect. I'm not sure where he's coming from, but his background, obviously coming out of the Vietnam War and working for the State Department for his entire career, you don't have an objective opinion at that point in your life. Obviously, it was not a popular uprising in Syria. You had tens of thousands of people in a 23 million population country, and they're definitely being backed by Qatar. Qatar has provided a ton of weapons and financing, and Qatar is the headquarters for the UK and the US and the Middle East for all of the military operations and all of the actual weaponry going in and out as coming through Turkey and Iraq. So you can't say that the US is not involved in Syria. That is a complete lie, and it is complete oversight, and it's very disingenuous.
And one of the consequences, Sarah Flounders, if you can tell us, so much so the British Foreign Secretary has actually come out saying that may not pose a threat to us when they first go to Syria, but if they survive, some may return ideologically hardened. This about these people with passports from Europe. I mean, has Syria become al-Qaeda's now new base for terror attacks in Europe?
Well, it is important to recognize that these forces are overwhelmingly armed and orchestrated, equipped militarily by U.S. and European forces, by outside imperialist forces who are determined to overthrow the government of Syria. And it will have the same impact that it had in Libya, where you have President Obama talking today about Libya forming an unusual and an extraordinary threat to U.S. security, because the very forces that they armed have their own agenda and turn against them. And it's also important to recognize that when you totally destroy a country, lay waste to it, such as happened in Libya, and also such as happened in U.S. wars in Iraq, in Afghanistan, that the whole population hates U.S. intervention. And so that is overwhelmingly true in Syria today. There is a real resistance to the, quote, Free Syrian Army and to the U.S. and Turkish and NATO orchestrated forces that are coming from the outside. Overwhelmingly, these are death squads, mercenaries that are coming from outside the country into Syria in an effort to just lay waste to the whole country, do as much damage as they can in city after city, destroying the infrastructure everywhere they can and targeting government officials. It's a policy that, once again, will absolutely, it even works against U.S. strategic interests, and that is the interesting part of it also, because while they think, and they have been able in some countries in the past to overturn the governments, they have not been able to secure any stability. It's short-term, big profits for the military corporations, but in terms of the lives of the people, it really creates a hell, a total chaos. And as I say, the forces that they arm have their own agenda and in turn will be used against U.S. interests also.
Exactly. Well, George Lombroski, let me ask you, are you familiar with the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, LIFG?
I'm sorry?
The Libya Islamic Fighting Group, short LIFG. Are you familiar with that group?
No.
Okay, they were supported by the United States, fought in Libya, NATO supported also. Now they're fighting in Syria. And these hardline Salafi Wahhabi
armed
men are a threat to both the U.S. and the U.K. My point being is that...
Well, I guess one thing I'd like to object to from your previous speaker is there's absolutely no evidence that the United States or Western governments are assisting the people who are fighting Assad at this point. And I think it's a little bit grotesque to imagine that they would be assisting al-Qaeda and other people coming from Europe purposely there. Obviously, this is not what is in the interest of anybody, to have more chaos in Syria, and the United States, along with everybody else, has continually said you need a political solution. In order to have a political solution, you have to have the agreement that the government will change. What it will change to, that needs to be negotiated. And as long as Assad remains and says no, he will not move, the political solution cannot even get off the ground, agreed that the move towards a democracy in any of these countries, when it is done by way of civil war, becomes very messy at the end.
Right.
Hopefully, you don't have to have this civil war all the time and forever. But unfortunately, as your speaker said before, yes, this has happened, and it's unfortunate. But for that, you need political solution. And Iran, along with Russia, along with the Western countries, which is now needs to go along with that, because Iran will be obviously suffering and will be threatened when the Assad regime falls, unless it makes a deal which keeps a certain degree of peace in Syria.
Sounds to me like they need to make a deal, the U.S. and its allies, with these extremists and terrorists. Scott Ricker, we're not going to have a debate unless you convince our guest, George Lombroski, about how the U.S. and the West, along with some of its allies, of course, but mainly the U.S. and the U.K., for example, are supporting these terrorists. Can you please try to convince our guests there of that?
Well, it's very clear that the Americans are supporting even Barack Obama announced a $25 million non-lethal donation to the rebel forces in Syria. Now, to refer to those forces as al-Qaeda, that's just a little trick. To be honest with you, it's not al-Qaeda. These are basically foreign legion. They're mercenaries for hire. Might as well just call them Blackwater for all purposes. They are hired guns that the CIA, intelligence forces out of any of the nations that are involved, the UK, US, Israel, they will hire and they will pay. And a lot of them are more than willing to go because that's all they've done their whole lives. They've fought wars. I mean, you have to take into consideration Mahdi El-Haradi. Mahdi El-Haradi was paid 800,000 euro to run the forces in the National Transition Council for the Libyan forces when we overthrew Gaddafi illegally. It was not a natural, it was not an uprising there that was popular either. It was only in Benghazi, and Benghazi made up less than 10% of the entire population of Libya. So we basically put in thousands of forces into Libya and then took over air control and basically overthrew criminal warfare, overthrew an entire nation, and turned it into a hellhole. And that's what's going to happen to Assad's country as well. And Assad's just holding on for dear life. Sarah Flounders is exactly right. You have an imperial nation that it does nothing. All it has is a hammer, and it sees the whole world as nails. And it's continually going around and pounding countries that do not deserve to be pounded. Gaddafi didn't deserve to be pounded. He was protecting his nation from foreign invaders, the same thing that Assad is doing. He's protecting his nation, just like his father did when the Americans were attacking Iran out of Iraq in the 70s and 80s. His father was protecting himself from the same adversaries mm-hmm. that are attacking his son.
Sir Flanders, basic question.
I find some of this history very peculiar, that the Americans were attacking Iran out of Iraq. At the time, as I recall, the Americans were actually dealing with Iran to try to get some of its hostages out of Lebanon. Also, if the United States and the CIA was backing the people who are winning against Assad in Syria, then neither Obama nor anyone else would hold back and worry about it. But the Americans are worrying about what's happening because as the war continues, and that's the problem, the war continuing, it draws in more and more of these freelancers or al-Qaeda or whatever they are, these extremists who by no means are being paid by any American organization to go in there, as the previous speaker seemed to think. These are people
they
who are being drawn
are
just
paid.
As they were into Iraq or Afghanistan under the Taliban. And in Libya, unfortunately, there too. If the war had been finished quickly, you would have had this transition to democracy. Now, I hope that the speaker before, who sounds American, I don't know if he is, but he has an American accent, doesn't argue that we should go against any democratic movement and that we should back dictators such as Assad and Gaddafi, just because they've been there a long time and have put together some kind of stability on the basis of a very authoritarian police regime. There are quite a few of those regimes around the world.
Neither we don't of necessarily these have to. Well,
let's give our guest there from New York, who is an American and she does have an American accent, a chance. There's Sarah Flounders. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Sarah Flounders.
It's beyond dispute that the U.S. is, yes, it's beyond dispute that the U.S. is playing a very big role in Syria, and they certainly did with nonstop 7 months of bombing in Libya. That's beyond question. Turkey is a NATO member, and the safe havens and the bases for the Free Syrian Army are in Turkey, a NATO member equipped and supplied by the United States. These mercenary forces, these death squad forces, are absolutely paid not only by the U.S., by the CIA, by all sorts of secret agencies, but also very openly by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, who operate with U.S. interests at stake. And there is nothing democratic in any of these forces. They have absolutely no political agenda whatsoever. The Syrian government, Assad, President Assad, again and again has said he is more than open to a negotiated settlement, has met with democratic forces within Syria. And this is absolutely beyond dispute. It has been covered again and again in the U.S. press and in the British press just how extensive the U.S. and British and French intervention in Syria is today. Not only with the arming, but the sanctions against Syria are meant to create enormous destabilization, inflation, the shutoff of all trade and credits, and all ability to receive any kind of material at all in Syria is conscious destabilization, and it comes entirely from the West and not in support of democracy. This is important to recognize. It's important to recognize that Syria and Libya were both stable governments with very high level of education, of literacy, of health care. Libya had the highest life expectancy, the most prosperous country in Africa.
Right.
And also stood for the independence, the economic independence of Africa. The overthrow of Libya has created total chaos and destruction of the country as a whole, and also those very forces that the U.S. armed operate now in a much wider arena. So the impact
I'm afraid,
of these U.S. wars
well,
is
let's
destabilization
take a
for the countries
let me ask all our guests, let's take a time out quickly and reflect on some of the comments that were made by Press TV viewers on Facebook. Let's take a look at them right now. One viewer by the name of Aubrey Sizzle Mataka has said, how can we fight al-Qaeda in Mali and Yemen and yet support them in Syria? This policy is indeed a double-edged sword. And the second comment from Akambi Temitope Mukhtara has said, men like bin Laden were trained by the West and used against USSR. He later became a collateral damage to the West. Is that not enough for the West to learn from? And that's a couple comments that we have there. George Lombroski, again, we're showing here from the viewer comments that U.S. and the West did support these fighters who fought in Libya, who are now fighting in Syria, of which U.S. Is putting a different spin on that. Why is that? You can't deny what they said about the al-Nusra Front, where they recently, just very recently, put him as a terrorist organization.
I'm not sure I caught that because I don't hear it too well. But what I did hear before, I have only one comment, that asserting that something is true doesn't make it true, as the previous speaker, though she is an American, seems to think, because she is talking about things that there's no evidence for at all. What we should realize is that, unfortunately,
there's
in the
no
Middle East as well as elsewhere,
on Syria?
I just finish saying that in the Middle East as elsewhere, there is the feeling that the Americans are running the world. They are not. What the Turks are doing is because the Turks want to do them, not because they're NATO. What happens around Syria, what happens in Libya, what Syrians do, what Libyans do, isn't necessarily the CIA doing it. And the idea that everything that happens in the Middle East must be done by the Americans is a very silly idea. People who get into these things properly and deeply know better. That you have to look at the evidence, not simply grab what you think is true and then say, oh, it's without doubt so. It is with doubt.
Let's give Scott Rickert a chance here.
This isn't even plausible denial. It's not even plausible denial.
Scott Rickert, go
ahead. There you are. You see, I mean, if you've got, we have a lot of people in America who are absolutely believers, firm believers in an idea, and there's nothing you can do with the facts to change it.
Very well. Scott Rickert, go ahead.
Well, that pretty much goes for George right there. I mean, George obviously believes in stuff that he might as well be at Disneyland right now. That poor guy is so out of touch. He has no idea what's going on in the planet. I mean, he's obviously sat back and worked on his lairs for 30 plus years for the State Department, and obviously he's got no touch with reality. I mean, the facts remain. I mean, over and over again, there are two separate American batteries, two separate Dutch batteries, and then also two separate German batteries of Patriot missiles along the border of Turkey. To say that the Americans are not involved in Turkey and NATO's not involved in what Turkey's doing, that is just such ridiculousness. I mean, the guy has...
Well, I didn't say they weren't involved. I said, of course they're there. They're there to protect.
This guy has so far out of touch. He's so protective of the extraordinary nature of American innocence. My God, Americans have killed 25 million people in the last 50 years. Ask this gentleman to watch Del Walter's film called Apocalypse Africa, Made in America. He's an investigative journalist that investigated all of the murders that Americans and American foreign policy has done in Africa over the last 25 years or 50 years. I mean, it's unbelievable how poorly our diplomacy is being fronted by gentlemen like this guy, George. And I use gentlemen very, very loosely. I, my God,
George Lombroski, Scott Rickert, let's give George Lombroski just quickly. George Lombroski, you talked about they're there to protect. Can you finish that statement before I go to Sarah Flounders? Quickly, if you can.
Yeah, as I said, what we have along the border with Turkey doesn't mean that NATO is running Turkey. It's simply Turkey asks for assistance and gets it. It needed those weapons there. Your last speaker, I don't know if he is being very liberal American or whether he's being anti-American or what he is, but his ridiculous figures of 25 million people killed by the Americans.
I'm sorry, I got to jump in to get Sarah Flounders in on this. Sarah Flounders, just a quick question to you.
Big propaganda.
Why does the West seem to think having terrorists engaged in fighting is better than using diplomacy? Quickly, if you can.
Again and again, the U.S. chooses a military solution, and it's destructive to the entire country. It's even devastating for U.S. interests, as we've seen in Iraq and Afghanistan, in Libya, and as we're seeing in Syria today. It won't succeed. It will create, even as Obama said, an unstable, extraordinary threat for U.S. interests, U.S. security. That is the downside of it that even is recognized in Washington today. But really, it's criminal wars supported one time after another against countries that formerly had high levels of stability, of health care, of education.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got to jump in. Thank you very much. I do apologize. Sarah Flounders there, author of War Without Victory and co-director of International Action Center. Thank you so much. George Lombroski, former U.S. diplomat there from London. And also, Scott Rickert, thank you, former U.S. intelligence linguist. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate from Mikhail Tahvay and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.